teachings has been called the Gospel of Common Sense. It is the New Testament version of the Old Testament book of Proverbs, the book of everyday wisdom. And as we look at the book of James today, James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27 will be our text. I want to briefly introduce some things, because if you get this thought, then you understand what James was doing. James is the teacher. The course is pure religion. The course meets on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. It meets 7 days a week. It is pass or fail. There is no auditing this class. There is no clapping this class. You have to take it and you have to do it. So when we talk about auditing the class, what are we talking about? We're talking about somebody that goes into the class and they sit through the class. They listen to the lectures. They look to be the same as every other student in the class. They just probably look a little happier than everybody else is because they're not doing the assignments and they're not taking the tests and they're not writing the papers and they're not giving the speeches. And so they're over there a little bit more relaxed than what you are because you know that you have to do the work. Auditors are hearers only. They're only there to hear what's being said. And that's what James is talking about, beginning in verse 22. He says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceived in your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And so he comes and sits through the class, and then he goes away and he forgets everything. Because he's not doing the work. He's not going to take the test. He's not got any responsibilities. He doesn't feel any responsibilities. And so as a result of that, it doesn't really stick with him very well. Now, we as Christians can't audit this class. We've got to take the class, and we've got to pass the class, which means that we've got to do the work. In James chapter 1, verse 25, James says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So we've got to be a doer of the work. We've got to do the assignments of the class. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In Luke 6:46, he says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now in Ezekiel 33, in verses 30 through 32, we have a situation in Ezekiel's day where they were auditing that class. They were saying one to another, come in here. Let's go hear Ezekiel. Let's go see what he has to say. And so they were coming in, and they were sitting there just like God's people. They looked just like all the other people of God. But the difference was they were hearing, but they weren't doing. They would even come out after the class and tell Ezekiel, Ezekiel, that was a masterpiece. Ezekiel, that's one of the best prophetic utterances I've ever heard. Ezekiel, you waxed eloquent today. They weren't doing it. Same way that people walk out on Sunday mornings and say, preacher, that was a good one. That's one of your best ones. And then they go back out in the world and they live like they never heard the lesson. So let's get back to James. The course is pure religion, and there are three assignments to this course, and you have to do all three assignments or you're not going to pass the course. The first assignment is bridle your tongue. The second assignment is visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And the third assignment is keep yourself unspotted from the world. Those are the three assignments for this course that we have to do. Assignment number one, bridle your tongue. James chapter 1 and verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man through religion is vain. So this man seems to be religious. He's in the class. He's sitting there with everyone else, but he's auditing the class. He's just listening to it. He doesn't plan on doing it. He doesn't plan on taking the test. He's not concerned about those kind of things because he's not bridling his tongue. He comes to services on Sunday. He sings and he prays, and then he leaves. He goes right back and lives the way he's always lived. He seems to be religious, but on Monday, he doesn't bridle his tongue. And in James chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10, James says that this man, there would bless with God, even the Father, and there would curse with men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So this man comes and he hears a lesson on the tongue. He's sitting there and he's smiling. He's listening like with everybody else. And then he goes out and Monday morning at work, he uses the language of the world. Monday morning at school, he talks like everybody else does. When he's on the ball field, he lets it fly. That man's just auditing the class. He only seems to be religious. You see, the devil doesn't care if we seem to be religious. He just doesn't want us to really be religious. He doesn't care if we're auditing the class as long as we're not doing the assignments. We can sit through a sermon on the tongue as long as we don't bridle the tongue. He doesn't care. You know, the word bridle is a horse term. I don't know a lot about horses, but I know a little bit about this term because James uses it in James chapter 3 in verses 1 through 3. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. For in many things we offend not, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle, there's the word, the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And so what bridling is about controlling, obeying, turning about the body. It's having control, and this man doesn't have control of his tongue. And you know that a horse is a powerful animal. You know, we use cars today. We don't use horses today as a rule. But what do we still talk about? Horsepower. How much horsepower does it have? Why? Because we know a horse is a powerful animal. And it has the ability to do some great things if that power is controlled. If it's out of control, it can do some horrible things. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You better control it. Because it has the potential for great good and it has the potential for great evil. But this man's just deceiving himself, James says. Because, you see, he thinks he's okay. He's not bridling his tongue. Now, how do you think the devil feels when we deceive ourselves? You know, that's the devil's work. That's what he's supposed to be doing. He's out here deceiving people. But here, this man's deceiving himself. He's doing the devil's work for him. You can imagine the devil just kind of leans back and laughs. I can take the day off. This guy's doing my job for me. He's deceiving himself. He thinks he's religious. When he's just playing, he's not controlling his tongue. He's just auditing the class. The devil knows you're not going to get credit. He knows when it comes to the end of the time, you're not going to get credit for being religious because you're just auditing that class. You're not practicing pure religion. Now, when we think about this man's religion, it's impure. James chapter 3 and verse 6 tells us why. The tongue is a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. That it defileth the whole body. And so this man's whole Christianity, this man's whole life is defiled by his tongue. I take a glass of water and I go to the toilet and I get just a drop of that water and I put it in that glass of water. Who wants to drink it? That one drop has defiled that whole glass of water. This man's tongue has defiled his whole body. This man's tongue is what caused him to be lost. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about plucking out your eye. He talks about cutting off your arm. He might as well talk about cutting out your tongue. Why? Because that one member can cause you to be lost. Because this man's just auditing this class. He's not living the life he ought to live. Assignment number 2, visit the widows and the orphans in their affliction. We cannot audit this responsibility and pass this class. Now, I know that some of our anti-brethren talk about not supporting, not helping the widows and the orphans out of the church treasury. I don't care. If you don't want to help them out of the church treasury, you don't have to, but you have to help them. You have to take care of them. And a lot of times those that argue we don't help them out of the church treasury, they don't help them at all. They don't practice pure religion at all. They don't do this. We've got to do it. I mean, there's no problem with helping them out of the church treasury. But if you don't want to do it that way, okay, I'm okay with that. But you better be helping them out of your own pocket. You better be practicing pure religion. And many of them, of course, are not doing it. God cares deeply about widows and orphans. In Psalm 68 and verse 5, he's called a father of the fatherless. He's called a judge of the widows. Psalm 146 and verse 9, it said that God relieveth the fatherless and the widows. In Exodus chapter 22 and verses 22 through 24, God says, if you afflict the widows, you afflict the fatherless, I'll make your wife a widow and I'll make your children fatherless. God says, I'll do to you what you're doing to others. God's serious about this. This is serious business. It's a part of pure religion. James chapter 1 and verse 27, James says, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this. The visit of the fatherless and the widows in their affliction.
Now, in the book of Job, in Job chapter 22 and verse 9, Eliphaz accuses Job of sending the widows away empty. He accuses Job of breaking the arms of the fatherless. And so Job defends himself in Job chapter 31 and verses 16 through 22. He makes very clear, I didn't eat my morsel of bread in the presence of the fatherless and let him go away hungry. I didn't do that, is what Job says. And in fact, Job gets to the last verse, verse 22, and Job says, if I've been guilty of what you've accused me of, then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade and my arm be broken from the bone. If I've really broken the arm of the fatherless, you break my arm. You tear my arm away. Job is defending himself because Job understood pure religion involved doing that. Boaz understood that, Ruth chapter 2. Mordecai understood that, Esther chapter 2. I want to tell you about a widow that I know from Mexico. Her name is Griselda, and she is a great Christian lady. About 4 years ago, she lost her husband, but she's still faithful. She didn't give up. She didn't quit. She has 3 children of her own, and she's taken another young man into her home. Again, she took this young man into her home after she lost her husband. After she became the sole breadwinner, after she had all of these added responsibilities, this young man doesn't have a mother. His father's nowhere to be found. She said, he needs somebody. She took him into her home. He's a faithful Christian today because this woman loved him and cared about him. We need to be like that. That's pure religion. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 talks about a disagreement, a problem that came up in the early church because some widows were being neglected. I'm here to tell you that problem hasn't gone away. There are widows that are still being neglected in the Lord's church. And we ought to be murmuring about it. We ought to be saying something about it because something needs to be done about it. Acts chapter 9 and verse 39 tells us about Dorcas, Tabitha. And it tells us that she had made clothing for all the widows around there. And so when Dorcas dies, here are all these widows and they're standing there showing Peter the garments and they're weeping. Now, I want to ask you a question. When you die, will there be any widows weeping? Will there be any widows that miss you? Will there be any fatherless that says, what am I going to do now? Because he's not here anymore. I want to tell you a little bit about my father-in-law. Now, my father-in-law had his faults. He was a Christian, but he had his faults. He had issues where he should have grown more and could have improved more. But everybody knew him as Mr. Talley. And he worked as a plumber. And there were a lot of widow ladies that after my father-in-law passed away, say, I don't know what I'm going to do with that Mr. Talley. Because Mr. Talley would come and fix all of their plumbing problems and take a jar of jelly in payment. And they're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I've always been able to call him, and I knew I didn't have the money, but I knew he wouldn't charge me. I knew he was going to take care of me. So when Mr. Talley was gone, these widows missed him. Are they going to miss you? Are they going to miss me? You know, when I quit going to Mexico and visiting the widows and the orphans, are they going to miss me? I hope they do. I hope that I'm making a difference in their lives to where there will be something missed when I'm gone. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 3 says, honor widows that are widows indeed. The word honor means to put a weighty importance upon them. I'm not sure we put as much importance upon widows and orphans as we ought to. But our God is the God of the fatherless. He's the judge of the widow. And he's going to judge us if we don't take our responsibility seriously in caring for them. Assignment number 3, keep yourself unspotted from the world. These individuals are trying to audit this class. They're coming to services, they're listening to sermons, but then they go out and they live just like the world lives. They don't change their lives. Their religion is defiled, it's spotted. James was writing to these Christians. He said that pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, some of the ones that James was dealing with in this book were not practicing what James was preaching. James chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. James says, you're too involved in the world. You're an adulterer. You're an adulteress, spiritually speaking. You're going out in the world and you're having interaction with the world that you don't have any business having. You're spotting yourself before God. Your religion isn't pure. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 17 and 18, Paul is saying the same things to the Corinthians. He says, wherefore, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, Touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons, and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We've got to come out. We've got to be different. We've got to be unspotted. I want to get to the conclusion, because I think this is really important. We've seen three assignments. We have to bridle the tongue. We have to visit the fatherless and the widows. We have to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Those are the assignments. We can't audit those things. We've got to do those things. But you know, sometimes a person will sit through a class, auditing a class, and they'll get to the end, and what do they want? They want credit for the class. I was here every day. I heard every lesson. She didn't do the assignments. I wonder how many people in the Day of Judgment are going to say, you know what, Jesus, I came to every service. I was right there with everybody else. I listened to every sermon that was preached. What's Jesus going to say to them? She was just auditing. You're just auditing, right? You weren't taking it. You weren't doing the work. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. You want to get in? You want to be able to eat from that tree of life and drink from that river of life and have your name in the book of life and wear that crown of life? You better be doing the work. You better be obeying the commandments, not just sitting there, not just auditing. Because you don't get credit if you just audit. You have to do the work. Well, I rushed through that. They had me so scared. Only 20 minutes worth of time. And so I will allow somebody else to have a little bit of extra time so you don't have to rush quite as much as I do. Thank you for your attention.